This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now, here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up on this edition, ISIS released a video of the beheading of another American journalist this week. Is ISIS taunting the West? Is this more evidence of America's failing leadership? Also, right at 2 years after the Benghazi debacle, Islamic militants now control U.S. embassy property in Libya. To paraphrase the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, does it really matter? That's what I asked General Jerry Boykin earlier this week. And Congress will make their way back to Capitol Hill this coming week. What's on their agenda? Majority Whip Steve Scalise joined me on Wednesday with the answer. Also, a huge win for natural marriage in Louisiana this past week as a federal judge broke the string of activist decisions that have overturned state marriage amendments across the country. Judge Martin Feldman said the state of Louisiana had a legitimate interest in preserving the natural definition of marriage. Attorney Mike Johnson, who argued before the federal judge, joined me with the details. Let me encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, where you can find out more about today's topics. You'll also be able to find out about an upcoming event, September the 14th, Star Spangled Sunday, right around the corner. Governor Mike Huckabee will be a part of it, Senator Ted Cruz, the Benham brothers, myself, and many more. You won't want to miss that. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Well, earlier this week, FRC's executive vice president and a founding member of Army's Delta Force, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, joined me to discuss the breaking news that ISIS had beheaded another American journalist, Stephen Sotloff. And another story that the media just happened not to cover is in regards to our U.S. embassy in Libya. Nearly 2 years after we lost four Americans to a terrorist attack in Benghazi, Libya, the American embassy in Libya's capital has fallen to Islamists. Here's my interview with General Boykin. General Boykin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be with you.
Well, this breaking news today, a second American journalist beheaded by ISIS, the executioner with the British accent, saying this is in retaliation for the United States standing in the way of ISIS. Is this further evidence of America's failing leadership on the international scene?
Well, I think it is, Tony. Listen, this is not something new. We've been watching these people for over a decade when they were still called Al-Qaeda in Iraq, led by a guy named Abu Musab Zarqawi. So beheadings are common. They have beheaded just scores, maybe hundreds of Christians as well as Kurds and even other Muslims. So this it only comes home when we see it. It's an American. We see it on YouTube. Then it really hits us. But, you know, Christians have been going through this for quite some time with this same organization, and they're doing it because they can. They're doing it because America will not stand up to this evil that is being perpetrated, and that is because nobody respects our administration anymore. There's been no leadership, and it's a sad situation for America.
Well, General, it is true that these beheadings, that is the choice of execution that the militants like to use. But in these last two cases in particular where we've had journalists involved, they have specifically called out President Obama. So in this case, they are I don't know if they're taunting him. They're basically thumbing their nose at him. I don't know, but it appears that they have no fear of him.
No, Tony, that's exactly what they're doing. You said it. They're calling him out. They are just having a field day now, really appealing to the sensitivities of their supporters and of young radical Muslims that might this might be the final thing that will bring them in to the cause to become jihadist. And I think what you're going to see is they will use this video themselves as a recruiting tool. They will use this to bring in more Americans, more Europeans, more people from North Africa and other parts of the Middle East, more radicals. You will see ISIS grow, and you will see them do that at our expense while we stand by helplessly saying that we don't have a strategy for an organization that we've been watching for over a decade, knowing what they were up to.
General, let me ask you that question. Drill down a little bit on that, that they will use this for recruiting. And earlier today, you were on Fox News talking about this, and you said that they'll use that to recruit even from here in the United States.
Yeah, that's right, Tony. And anybody that thinks that we don't have jihadists in America has not looked at the record. And, you know, look at the Tsarnaev brothers up in Boston. ISIS is in America. Jihadists are in America. Many of them have been radicalized in mosque here in America. That's exactly what happened with Nadal Hassan, the major at Fort Hood there. They were radicalized here in mosque, where radical imams are preaching a firebrand rhetoric about jihad. We know from what the former FBI director, Robert Mueller, said in testimony 5 or 6 years ago, that we have terrorist cells that have come across the southern border and that are now established in America. We also know from the Border Patrol, just from what they're telling us, that they're finding Korans, prayer rugs, and terrorist training manuals in the wadis down on the southern border. So we know more are still coming across. So they're in America. Now what could potentially happen is they could be activated as a result of, again, the propaganda value of this kind of video and the fact that ISIS is now standing up to the world's only superpower, America, and they are poking their finger in our eyes, and this could absolutely be a turning point for young radicals all over the world who have just been waiting for this moment.
Could it be a turning point for America in terms of our indifference to what's happening in the Middle East right now?
Tony, it's kind of interesting that even liberals now are becoming hawks. You know, they're really switching sides. They're jumping ship. We've got all kinds of people now that that you would never have thought that they would be advocating for taking action against ISIS, and that's exactly what they're doing. People within our president's own party, members of Congress, and even media outlets that are criticizing the president for having such a feckless policy, for doing nothing, when he's been watching these people for, you know, it's been reported now for over a year, he's been getting a daily update on them. So, yeah, I think it could be an awakening for America. America is now has a right to be scared because of the lack of action on the president's part.
Let me switch gears to a related topic. It was almost 2 years ago that we saw the Benghazi attack in which four Americans were killed. That investigation is still ongoing, as there is now a select committee from Congress looking into what actually took place there. But another video released now shows that U.S. property, part of the embassy compound in Libya, is now under the control of Islamic militants. Is this a big deal?
I think it's a huge deal, Tony, for a variety of reasons. One of which is, remember that when the president opened the air campaign to help destabilize and eventually kill Muammar Gaddafi, he never even consulted with the Congress. And then at the end of his 90 days, when the War Powers Act kicked in, he made a unilateral decision that this was the War Powers Act was unconstitutional and he was not going to talk to Congress about this thing. So he violated a lot of constitutional principles just in going in there to begin with. But then these people that have taken our compound are the very people that we armed through a covert program that we were running in there. We gave them arms and equipment. We gave them the wherewithal to overthrow and kill Gaddafi, and then we got it back on the 11th of September in Benghazi 2 years ago, and now we're getting it back in the form of them seizing sovereign U.S. territory. The last time sovereign U.S. territory was actually seized was on the 5th of November 1979 in Tehran, when the radical students there seized our embassy and took American hostages. This is a big deal. That's America. You say, well, it was just a cottage. No, it's on a compound. It's on an installation where the American flag flies, and by international law, that is sovereign American soil. We've been invaded, Tony, but you won't hear that out of this president or this media.
General, we're almost out of time here, up against the break, but one final question for you. Is the military leadership starting to challenge this president on his foreign policy and his military lack of engagement?
If you'd asked me that yesterday, I would have said no. But today, given the exposure of an audio tape from General John Amos, the Commandant of the Marine Corps, which I think was very critical, I would have to say it's starting to happen.
Well, it couldn't happen too soon. General Jerry Boykin, thanks so much for being with us and keeping us updated on what's happening in the Middle East.
Thank you, Tony.
Again, that was General Jerry Boykin. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and you can follow the links over and see what General Boykin is saying in terms of the latest coming out of the Middle East. All right, when we return on this weekend edition of Washington Watch, Congress has been out for the last month. When they return this coming week, there will be a lot of issues that they have to address, but what's at the top of their to-do list? That's what I asked Congressman Steve Scalise, the Majority Whip, when we return right here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Hello, this is Tony Perkins. I hope you'll plan now to join me on September the 26th through the 28th for this year's Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C., as we stand alongside thousands of like-minded Americans who want to see our country return to the founding principles of faith, family, and freedom. Confirmed speakers include Governor Bobby Jindal, Senator Ted Cruz, Michelle Malkin, Mark Levin, Rick Santorum, Star Parker, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, Michelle Bachman, and many more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, protection of life and marriage, national security, government overreach, and more. Register today for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This September, let's stand together, defending the dream, defining the future. Values Voter Summit is sponsored by FRC Action, AFA Action, American Values, Liberty Council, Liberty Council Action, Liberty Institute, and Family Research Council. Welcome back to this weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. Let me encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics, our guest. Also, information about some upcoming events. Coming up September 14th, Star Spangled Sunday, a Sunday night service that will be broadcasted to churches across the nation. You can participate. Go to tonyperkins.com, find out more. Also, you can find out about the upcoming Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C. There's still time for you to register and be a part. I'll save a seat for you, but you got to register soon. Go to tonyperkins.com. Well, to think of all these situations that have been unfolding around the country and literally around the world while Congress has been in recess is really kind of mind-boggling. The world literally has changed since Congress left town just a little over 5 weeks ago. And that change has not been for the better, in large part because what's happening in the Middle East. But there are many domestic issues facing Congress as well as they come back for a short time before they leave again to go out and prepare for this fall's elections. Well, joining me earlier this week was Congressman Steve Scalise, who is the Majority Whip, and he's also a former colleague of mine. We served together in the Louisiana House. He is the first district congressional representative from Louisiana. And here's our interview from earlier this week. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, always great to be back with you.
So what's at the top of the list as Congress returns next week?
Well, the top of the list is to address some of the pressing issues, whether it's some of the bills we're going to be pushing over to the Senate, dealing with jobs, getting the economy moving again, but also making sure that government's properly funded. And you only have about 2 weeks left, so it's going to be a narrow time frame to take up a number of issues. But I've been talking to the other members of our leadership about some of the things that that I think we should be addressing, and you know, and definitely dealing with the pressing problems, getting the economy moving again, and getting government funded properly are very front and center on what we'll be dealing with.
Let me ask you a question about that, Steve. When we're probably going to be going back to a continuing resolution to keep government funded. Are we looking at getting that through the end of the calendar year so we don't have the risk of Congress being held hostage in a lame duck session with another vote on a continuing resolution?
It'll probably go through the middle or end of the year. And, of course, what happens in these Senate races will, I think, determine a lot about what happens in a lame duck session. I really feel confident we're going to get control of the Senate. And, of course, Louisiana is going to play an important role in that. I think we'll be able to defeat Mary Landrieu, but I think overall we'll be able to get a majority in the Senate. And then you can let the new the new House and Senate, with hopefully increased numbers in the House and a Republican-controlled Senate, tackle these issues on our terms in a much better way in the new year.
Yeah, that's very concerning about a lame duck. We saw what happened after the 2010 election when the Democrats lost the House. They passed a bunch of bad pieces of legislation during that lame duck. So hopefully that can be avoided this time around. Let's go to an issue or a set of issues that clearly are pressing on the international front. Is the landscape internationally has changed dramatically since you all left Washington the end of July. How prominent is the issue of ISIS and the threat of the Middle East going to play into what Congress takes up in the coming weeks?
Well, I think it's going to be it's a big concern of all of ours. Of course, we've seen beheadings. We've seen mass executions of Christians in Iraq. ISIS is Al-Qaeda on steroids, Tony. And this is a group that the president, I don't think, has laid out a clear plan of how to deal with. I mean, this is a group you ought to be aggressively saying, we're going to take them out. These are people that ultimately want to come and attack America again on American soil. And there are a lot of things that can be done to address it. I do think the commander-in-chief has a responsibility to lay out what his plan is. You know, I was speaking to a group of people today at a lunch, and one person asked me about this foolishness where the president's trying to change the name of the Washington Redskins. And it is a sad state of affairs for our commander-in-chief that we know what President Obama's plan is for the name of the Washington Redskins. He wants to change it. We know his plan. But we don't know what his plan is to deal with a major threat to American national security. And I think it's just indicative of the lack of focus and priorities that this president's had, that he won't lay out that plan, but we know what some of his other plans are that have nothing to do with the problems facing this country.
But that would be consistent with the community organizer.
Exactly, and that's what we have. And, you know, and he's got opportunities to step up. I mean, this is a great chance for him to lead on a world stage, and he still can't be bold and go and show what that vision is. What a contrast to, you know, when you had leaders like Ronald Reagan during the Cold War. You knew exactly what his stand was. It was very simple, too. He didn't need a long, complicated explanation. It was just four words: we win, they lose. That was his plan, and he won with that attitude.
Right, absolutely. Peace through strength was his approach to foreign policy and the military. And certainly, Congressman Scalise, when we look at what's happening in the Middle East and just reports out this week in Libya, where the president took unilateral action to unseat Gaddafi there, who was a dictator, but he basically kept the kept things in balance. Now we have Islamist militants who have control of commercial jetliners there. Clearly, that presents a threat to the United States and other countries.
It really is, and there are so many countries around the world that we've seen either a lack of direction and focus or lack of support of allies. You can look at what's going on in Israel. And, you know, fortunately, we've got a great, strong leader in Benjamin Netanyahu who's doing what he's got to do in Gaza to stop attacks against the Israeli people. And it would be nice if you had a strong ally in the United States standing up saying, we've got their back. And we haven't had that clear goal from this president with our relationship with Israel.
Well, Congressman, I know your plate is going to be full when you get back, so, Steve, we'll be in close contact with you because a lot is happening, not only here, but as we've talked about around the world, and we cannot take our eye off the ball.
It's always great to be with you, Tony. Thanks for what you do.
That was Congressman Steve Scalise of the 1st Congressional District of Louisiana and the Majority Whip in the House of Representatives. To find out more about Steve and what he's working on, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, when we come back, some good news. Yes, you heard me right. Some good news. A victory in the courts this week with a federal judge upholding Louisiana's marriage amendment. The attorney who argued before the federal judge, Mike Johnson, joins me when we return. Don't go away.
We are grateful for our military, for the men and women who have risked their lives so we can be free. Free to speak our minds, to associate, and to practice our faith. Many members of our military have a strong Christian faith, one that supports and motivates their sacrifice. Some of them, however, are facing pressure to abandon that faith. We won't stand for that. We believe their religious freedom is worth protecting. To follow this issue on Facebook or Twitter, Find us at hashtag Military Freedom.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins. I want to invite you to join me on September the 14th as we celebrate the 200th anniversary of the Star Spangled Banner. Join churches across the country for a live simulcast presented by the Family Research Council and Vision Action America. This event will celebrate the untold story of sacrifice, faith, and God's providence behind the song that became our national anthem. Star Spangled Sunday is a patriotic and inspirational event that is perfect for churches and small groups. You'll hear from former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee and Texas Senator Ted Cruz, those who have stood for their faith in the midst of attack. Hobby Lobby President Steve Green, the CEO of Conestoga Wood, Anthony Hahn, the Benham Brothers, and many more. Don't miss your opportunity to be a part of this historic 200th anniversary of the Star Spangled Banner. To register or get more information, visit starspangledsunday.com. Again, that's starspangledsunday.com or call 800-225-4008. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us this weekend. Well, a huge win for natural marriage in Louisiana this past week as a federal judge broke a string of activist decisions by upholding the state's right to preserve the definition of marriage. Judge Martin Feldman ruled that, quote, the state of Louisiana has a legitimate interest under a rational basis standard of review for addressing the meaning of marriage through the democratic process, end quote. Louisiana's defense of marriage constitutional amendment stands. Finally, after a string of lawless judges around the country, we find a judge that understands the rule of law. Joining me earlier this week to break down this decision was the attorney who defended the state's marriage amendment, Mike Johnson. Mike, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. It's great to be with you.
Congratulations on a big win.
We described it down here today as seismic. It is big, isn't it? Because it did break that string of losses that the advocates of natural marriage, traditional marriage, have experienced over the last year since the Supreme Court weighed in on the Windsor case last June. We've lost, our side, that is, has lost 38 cases in a row in the federal courts and lower courts around the country. So this was a long overdue victory. This was the right decision, and we applaud Judge Feldman for having the courage to do the right thing.
Well, and that's right. The judge had to have some courage to break with in fact, I even did an interview on this today, and they say, well, don't you think the judge and those of you who have this position are on the wrong side of history? And I said, nay, to the contrary.
Right.
That was his point. He is standing on the side of 5,000 years of human history, where you're trying to make public policy based on less than a decade of history.
Well, not only are we standing on the right side of a millennia of history, but as the court pointed out in his opinion, it was so well-reasoned and well-written that no person can objectively read this and disagree. I mean, he just methodically went through the constitutional arguments, and he says, quote, Louisiana has a legitimate interest in linking children with intact families formed by their biological parents and by ensuring that fundamental social change occurs by social consensus through the democratic process, unquote. So, There are many rational bases for the state and the people of this state to define marriage, preserve the definition of marriage, as it were, as we have, as one man, one woman, not the least of which is linking children to their biological parents. That's, of course, a legitimate state interest. And if that's going to change, Tony, this is the judge's opinion, and he's right, it has to be done by social consensus. It should never be done by judicial fiat.
But those are two fundamental concepts that has been lost on most of these other judges. Number one, they have rejected the idea that there's a public policy basis for preserving the definition of marriage. They've rejected that idea. And then secondly, they apparently don't give a rip when it comes to the democratic process, although all they have to do is look at the issue of abortion and how the courts still have not decided the issue of abortion after Roe v. Wade, which they said they thought would finalize the issue, and it has not.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, this has been the true definition of judicial activism. You've had a number of courts, scores of them almost now, who have looked at the Constitution and squinted and looked the other way. I mean, they are trying to help advance an agenda whatever their rationale, whatever their reason, they're ignoring the law. Justice Alito said it very well in his dissent in the Windsor case last summer. He said, quote, same-sex marriage presents a highly emotional and important question of public policy, but not a difficult question of constitutional law, unquote. And that's exactly right. I mean, there's no question, if you objectively look at our law, you objectively look at our history, the ruling today is precisely correct, and we're so grateful that the judge did it.
And that goes to the heart of what the courts are supposed to do. The courts are supposed to interpret the aspects of law, not public policy and the culture.
Well, that's right, and Judge Feldman mentioned that in his opinion today, and he said, you know, some of my colleagues on these other benches, other courts, have had a tendency to act as though they're the legislative branch of government. That is not our role. We are supposed to be umpires, you know, is effectively what he said. As Chief Justice Roberts said in his confirmation hearing famously, I'm an umpire. I'm supposed to call it like I see it, not like I want it to be. I'm not put in this position to make law. I'm just supposed to interpret the Constitution. And that's what our judge has done in Louisiana. It will almost certainly be appealed, and we expect that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, which covers Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi, I'm very confident that they're going to uphold our victory here, and that will set up what is soon to be a circuit split, I believe. And ultimately, the U.S. Supreme Court is going to have to decide this.
Well, Mike, congratulations once again. And quickly, tell our folks about kind of your new venture where you're also working on religious freedom cases around the country.
Well, yes, we're sort of doing all this work under the banner of our public interest law firm. It's called Freedom Guard. We launched that early this year to really defend religious liberty, the sanctity of human life, marriage, and the family, in the courts and in the court of public opinion. I mean, as you know, I did that work for almost 15 years with the Alliance Defending Freedom and Liberty Institute and other groups, and there's so much of this work to be done. We're so busy down here in the Deep South doing it that we needed kind of our own organization here. So we launched that, and since you asked, I'll give the website. It's freedomguardnow.org, freedomguardnow.org, and that's the banner that we're sort of flying under to do all this work.
All right, Mike Johnson, again, congratulations and a job well done.
Thanks a lot, Tony. Appreciate your work, and keep it up.
Again, that was Mike Johnson. To find out more about the work that Mike is doing on behalf of religious freedom, go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and follow the links over. While you're there, be sure and check out upcoming events. We've got the Star-Spangled Sunday coming up September the 14th. Later this month, Values Voter Summit. Lots of information right there at the website, tonyperkins.com. Well, folks, we're all out of time for this weekend edition, but I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. When you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, you've prepared, and you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.